On March 8th, 1961, Emilio Viana and his two young boys went to work in their sweet potato fields on the west side of Lubang Island. Lubang Island is a small island in the Philippines. It looks like something out of a travel brochure. White sandy beaches, palm trees, rocky cliffs, mountains, just beautiful. But there is an enemy on that island. That day, Emilio and his two sons worked until noon, and they took their break, as they always did. The two boys ate their lunch that they had brought along. Emilio sat down to drink some coffee, as he always did, when gunshots rang out. One bullet struck one of his young sons in the leg, and the other one shattered his own. His kids scrambled to save his life. They dragged him through the jungle. They got him to their fishing boat where they wanted to get him to a nearby village where they could get some medical aid. But before they could get there, they watched their father die right before their eyes. Not that long ago, one of his young sons gave an interview and he described that day like it was yesterday. What's more, he knew exactly who did it. And so did everyone else on that island. You see, if you grew up on Lubang Island in the late 40s, 50s, 60s, and early 70s, you grow up with stories of the Demonya sa Bundok. That translates into the devils in the mountains. But this wasn't some boogeyman invented to scare kids into eating their vegetables. No, this was a group of World War II Japanese soldiers who had been stationed on that island to wage guerrilla warfare against the people of Lubang. The war had been over for decades, but they kept fighting. They rained down flyers on the island to tell them that the war was over. They would go out in the jungle with a loudspeaker and they would pronounce it to the jungles to try to communicate to them there's no reason to fight anymore, that the Japanese had already surrendered, but they always believed it was propaganda. They just kept fighting. And so the people of Lubang Island found themselves waging war against an enemy who had already been defeated, and yet raged on nonetheless. Over time, their little group dwindled. One surrendered, two more were shot by local authorities, but there was one holdout who would not surrender. His name was Hiroo Onada, and he was the last enemy on Lubang Island. Before it was done, there would be at least 30 murdered by his hand, 100 injured in horrible, gruesome ways, and a people living in fear of that last enemy who, though defeated, raged on nonetheless. Every year we do this. We gather here together to remember the defeat of our enemy. We come to the place where our forevers always seem to end, a graveyard. And through the words of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, we gather together and we look inside of that grave, and yet we do so wearing pastel colors or Sunday best, flowers all over the place, because we know that that tomb is empty. Every year we gather here, remembering the scenes of Good Friday, seeing the Son of God dead on a cross. Every year we sit here remembering our role in that scene, that as Isaiah says, he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. And every year we look inside that tomb and we see its emptiness. And we hear the announcement of the angels. And we see a Jesus who died and rose, who defeated that last great enemy, death, along with our sin and our guilt. Because as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. And you read those words. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. You see, to the Apostle Paul, you could tell the whole story of the human race in terms of two people. On the one hand, you have Adam. And the people who are made to live forever have been subjected to death because of the way they fell into sin in the Garden of Eden. And it didn't just infect them. Sin infected all of creation. It infected you and I. So just as Adam died, so we all die. But in Christ, all will be made alive. Because when Jesus came to this world, he did not just come for himself. He came to live in your place and mine. And he lived the life we failed to live. And he bore upon himself our failings, our guilt, our iniquity. He went to that cross where he was crushed for it. And when he pried himself free from death's grip, he left it all buried in the tomb. Which means death has no claim to you anymore. Because if the wages of sin are death, when sin is removed, death has no more leverage against you. Every year we gather on Easter to witness the defeat of our great enemy, death. And every year we leave here and we get in our cars and we go home to live in a world where death rages on. Because even though death is defeated, we live smack dab in the middle of the very next verse. Paul continues. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. We live right in between. Between Jesus' resurrection from the dead and his return on the last day when he will raise all of us from the dead. And here in the middle, death rages on. And death is a ruthless enemy. It is ruthless in the way it interrupts our lives. In the way you can have plans for the future, you can have ideas and all the things you want to do, and it does not care because with a text, with a phone call, everything stops, everything changes, and your life is always a little less after that. It is ruthless in the way it has no pity whatsoever. In the way you can hold your little one, someone you have so many plans for the future, and you can work and you can throw every medical advancement at it you want, and death just swallows it up as it takes that little one from you. And it's ruthless in the way we watch the people we depend upon, our parents and our grandparents and our siblings. We watch as they just waste away before our eyes, and try as we might, death takes them nonetheless. And it is ruthless in the way it pursues us, because it does not care. You can be as safe as you want. You can be as healthy as you want. You can take all the right precautions, make all the right moves, but it will always be trailing you, and at some point, it will catch you. It has consumed everyone who has ever lived except for one. And unless Jesus comes back first, it will catch up to me. And it will catch up to you. Which means that death is ruthless in its endings. It's ruthless in the way that other people live in our forever homes. It's ruthless in the way death steals away a whole life lived, and we are forgotten about so quickly, even among the people we consider to be our legacy, our kids, our grandkids. Because honestly, how much do you know about your great-grandparents? You see, we were made to live forever. And death steals forever from us, time after time. And yet, year after year, we gather here and remember those words that for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. And we remember that there in that empty tomb, we find our hope for forever. But out there in the cold, stands a million graveyards just like that, with headstones marking the places where our loved ones rest. And we know that unless Jesus comes back first, at some point, one of those headstones will have our name on it. This day is March 10th, 1974. It has been 13 years since Emilio Vianna lost his life, 29 years since VE Day, where the Japanese surrendered in World War II. But this day is the surrender of Hiroo Onoda. See, he had been living in the jungle, waging war as he always had, when there was a Japanese adventurer named Norio Suzuki who went looking for him, because he had become a legend in that part of the world. He found him and told him the war was over, as many others had. He told him he could not stop waging war until his commanding officer gave the order. So a new quest began: to find the commanding officer for Hiroo Onoda. He looked, he searched, and finally he found him. The director of special operations that was over this man was now an old man living in Japan, working as a bookseller. But he heard the story. He flew to Lubang Island. He gave the order. And the last enemy of Lubang Island surrendered. See, that's the thing about defeat. You can refuse to admit you're beaten. You can rant and you can rave all you want, but at some point, reality always crashes the party. Ever since Jesus walked out of that tomb, death has been raging. And it will rant and it will rave, and it has racked up victory after victory after victory. Every single battle except for one. But that one makes all the difference. Because as an Adam will die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Paul writes, "For as an Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in turn. Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he has put everything under his feet." Now, when it says that everything has been put under him, it's clear this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. See, soon the day will be here. Soon the day will come where he puts all his enemies under his feet. Soon the day will come where Jesus will destroy this world and all that sin infects and create a brand new one. Soon the day will come where the devil and his angels will be locked up in hell, never to leave again. Soon the day will come where Jesus will put all things under the Father again, so God may be all in all. But first, it says the last enemy to be destroyed is death. And on that day when Jesus comes back, in graveyard after graveyard around the world, death will lose every victory it won. One by one, the dead will raise, and headstones will stand guard over empty holes. There you'll find your Christian young ones who died before they had a chance to live the life you had planned for them, and yet they will rise to live a whole new life forever. On that day, you'll see your Christian loved ones, your parents and your grandparents, the people you watched waste away before your eyes, risen from the dead, no worse for the wear, and they will rise to live forever. You'll be there. And no matter what you experience from this day till then, no matter what you go through, you will rise from the dead, and body and soul, you will be reunited to live in perfect harmony with others, with creation, with yourself, with your God. You will be perfectly in balance for the first time in your life, and you will live like that forever. As we live here in the middle, keep that picture in mind. Keep that picture of that empty tomb on Easter Sunday of Jesus, the first fruits. And remember this, as sure as you see those crops come up in the summer, as sure as you see the first one come up, you know more will follow. In the same way, just as Jesus rose, so will we. You see, Jesus' story of Easter isn't just a story. It's our story. The story of our own resurrection one day. You know, Hiroo Onoda is kind of a controversial figure. After he surrendered, he was pardoned by the Filipino government. He went back to Japan and received a hero's welcome. He was an example of what it looks like to give yourself in duty to one's country. But not to Mia Stewart. Mia Stewart is the director of a new documentary that's going to be coming out. She's also the one whose great uncle was a guy who lost his life at the beginning. She grew up hearing stories from her mother and her aunts and her uncles about these demons in the mountains. But you know, the reason she's making that documentary is because it won't be long and no one will remember any of it. And Lubang Island will go back to being that paradise in the South Pacific it always was. You know, nobody's going to mourn the day when death is finally defeated. Because nothing takes more from us. There is no enemy that rages against us more ruthlessly than death. But whatever it is we go through, whatever it is that death takes, at some point we're going to find ourselves there. And Jesus will have returned everything to the Father again so that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are the way they were before Adam and Eve fell in the garden, before any of this happened. He's going to put it all back. And there they'll be. All your Christian loved ones that you lost in life, risen from the dead. And there you'll be, risen as well to live forever. And there he will be, the source of your life, the key to your happiness, the secret to your forever. And on that day, you're finally going to know what it means to make plans for forever. And on that day, you're finally going to know what it's like to experience the best day of your life and to know that you are not running out of time. All because your last enemy, death, is destroyed forever. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Emmanuel's Sermon Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Emmanuel, you can follow us on Facebook or visit us at imluth.org. That's immluth.org. Have a great day.